We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So standing here at the beginning of Lent, I've been thinking a great deal about reconciliation. I felt deep in myself all the places in which divisions and hurts have created chasms and gulfs among people. We see this in our politics, where the Democratic and Republican fields reveal these stark contrasts about the nature of this country and where it ought to head. And there are divisions there not only between the parties, but these strong generational and ideological and even gender divides within these electorates. And we feel it deeply in the life of the Anglican Communion, where both progressives and traditionalists alike can appeal to scripture, reason, and tradition to offer completely different views on human sexuality. And so these seemingly irreconcilable views have led to deep wounds in our life together that call out for reconciliation. And naturally, we also feel it deeply in our own lives daily. The hurts we've experienced, the hurts we have done, the isolation and anonymity of our lives that social media masks, the marginalization of the poor, the shame of homelessness, the rejection of the different. And we choose to live in our bubbles, surrounding ourselves with like-minded people, resisting encounters with those whose very presence might upend our vision of reality. And so we have to hear again these words of Paul. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. The reconciliation happens first with God, even though we feel it in all these ways in our lives and in society. And so, why does the reconciliation have to happen first with God before we do it with each other? Well, the witness of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, the witness is that because humanity is this pinnacle of creation, that we are in the image and likeness of God, in some ways, then the stability of the created order and the fabric of our own lives depends on us as human beings first living in right relationship with God. Everything flows from that. And so if we see God as the source of all things, and then we say to ourselves, I have to remove myself from the center of my reality, we, our relationships, society, creation itself, is able to live in harmony. But if we remove God as the source of all and put ourselves, our politics, our economics, our pleasures, or anything else in the center, chaos eventually creeps in to all things. And as you know, often, or almost always, that's exactly what happens. So we need reconciliation. And if we see the signs of the need for reconciliation in our lives and in the world around us, it's also a sign of our collective need for reconciliation with God. And there's good news. This reconciliation is constantly being offered to us by God. We, gathered here as Christians, experience it as something done for us definitively in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it's also something that humans have been called to over and over again in their lives, as we hear in the words of the prophet Joel, return to the Lord. Return to the Lord, your God, for God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. We're called over and over again to return to God, to be reconciled to God. And why do we return? Why can we return? Because God's true nature has been revealed to us. God is not a fierce, angry judge waiting to destroy us. Rather, God is, as we first hear in the witness from Exodus, when Moses was on Sinai, and we heard in Joel, and we heard in the Psalm, we heard these words, that God is gracious and merciful, abounding in steadfast love. So all of the pain of sin that's caused in our lives, those are the results of the chaos and discord that arises when we draw away from God as the scope and source of all things. But when we draw near to God, we encounter grace, mercy, love. We experience reconciliation. We experience reconciliation first with God and then with others. It's fitting that we place ashes on our heads today. They serve as a sign of our true repentance and our deep desire for reconciliation. As dust, they remind us of the dust that we will return to. But that is dust that also represents the earth, the created order, the stuff from which God made us. We stand remembering as we receive those ashes, that's God who made all that is, and that we are here to live in right relationship with God and with all creation. And we stand on the threshold of this long journey towards the cross and the grave, to that moment when Jesus returned to the earth and then he rose up from the earth and triumphed over death and set all things right for creation and for us. Jesus Christ is the author of our salvation and the maker of our reconciliation with God and with all creation and with our brothers and sisters. And so, let us receive our ashes and return again to the work of reconciliation. Amen.